got a small space, and this happened to me in my last studio. I was so surrounded by so much rubbish that I couldn't actually see anymore. So I started doing all my work on the computer and thinking on the computer, and actually it doesn't work. You know, it does to a certain degree, but actually what I've found coming down here now is I'm just on fire, because I've got the space to drop things, throw things around, you know, pour plaster everywhere, and I don't have to plan everything on the computer now. I can actually just experiment with it, dump it, leave it, think about it. But it's, you know, it is, I think, for practice to develop, you do need just to, yeah, leave something on the wall and not look at it for a week, and then, yeah, so I think actually to be kind of shutting down students and, you know, for artists constantly to be having thinking smaller spaces is really tricky. And I also, you know, I know there's a few artists around the city who've cleverly bought buildings as groups. You know, I think that's, you know, that's a great situation.
But few is the operative word.
Yeah, probably a few. But, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, this is fantastic that we've got this opportunity. Yeah.
And to have this kind of public space as well, to have these public programs. And this is the second in the series, so hopefully they'll grow as well. But it's a really great place to have engagement and talk and see what the needs are. So
I think it's interesting that just listening to you talking about, you know, your own studio, I mean, I think they're deeply personal spaces. I mean, mine is in a mess because, you know, it needs to be a mess. I haven't deliberately set out to make it a mess. It's a sort of function of you know, the performance of the day. What was fascinating was opening up this studio as the block party.
This was
gallery.
We had a block party 10 days ago, two Fridays ago. It's also intensely personal.
And very, very personal.
Yeah.
When you say that, it makes me terrified. I actually cannot. I just realised when you said that I really hate people coming into my studio.
You know, you've said that about five times.
But it was a planned event where access was planned. Yeah.
Mm.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. And stand outside the door and go, yes. Which I guess goes to the kind of the old dictum of studios, that they were also an exhibition space because there were so fewer places, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago even, to exhibit works. And now, though the galleries are shrinking, perhaps, but there are art fairs and different venues, so does the studio still have that kind of exhibition space? Because I know that, you know, curators come into the studio and...
I don't even know. Like, a few curators recently have said, can I come to your studio? And I don't even know what to say. It's like...
Yes.
Well, could I just bring my computer to you? Or, you know, everything's a picture. I think a lot of people... I don't understand the value for someone being in the studio to look at things.
I guess it's to look at the work, coming from a curator kind of advisor standpoint. It's to see the making, the actual work.
Yeah, no, I do understand.
The materiality of it. Yeah. I thought you did. Yeah. But I think that...
I don't like it.
You don't like it. You just don't like it. Yeah. Yeah. But I think in this kind of immaterial world, the I suppose through the conversation tonight, too, it has struck me that the studio is still a magic place. And it probably always will be because of that personal space. That creative space, that, you know, the future of the world. I don't know if people went to the MCA last night to hear the director of the Tate speak, and really the takeout of her talk was that creativity is the future for any industry. and interesting at UNSW Art and Design, you know, robotics has gone onto the A&D campus. And it's not that the world is up to artists, the future of it, but it's about creativity.
I think one thing that we haven't spoken about that is really contentious right now in terms of artists and studios globally, you know, in the capitalist space that we exist in, is artists are often at the point of gentrification for an area. And I mean, and I think in this area, it's potentially not such an issue because it's sort of already gentrified. I mean, you know, it's office sort of suburban space, but I know in a lot of, particularly in the States at the moment, you know, artists moving into a space actually changes that space totally for the people already existing there, who then have an issue with being able to afford to stay in the space. And so it's a really interesting situation with the idea of artists as kind of, you know, mythological beings, sort of, because actually often it is the downfall of an area.
But it's more that artists get kicked out because the prices, rent gets too high. So they move to the next section. And really, it's not the artists doing it, even though they might make it cooler or something, but
it's market
factors. The artists
factors.
Are just moving out because of the, and the buildings are following and the rent is following.
That's right, yeah.
So they just have to keep going.
And I guess it's, you know, the irony of this conversation is that TWT Property is the major funder for the Bridging Hope Charity Foundation, but we're actually very blessed and lucky that the founder has an incredible heart and really sees the importance of creativity for community good.
But I also think this is a symbiotic relationship that, I mean, you know, I'm really grateful to TWT for the space, but I also think that artists and creative people bring a lot of energy to an area.
Totally.
So I actually, you know, I actually think that artists are endlessly grateful, but actually artists bring a huge amount of, you know, cultural capital to an environment. You know, I just bumped into a writer this morning who was like, you know, she's been a curator at the Art Gallery of New South Wales most of her life and she's now freelancing. She's like, you know, my accountant said to me, I've got another tax break this year. It's like, because I'm just not earning anything. And I think we're in this strange industry where you've spoken about it, Abdul, about being sole traders and, you know, you've got to get by. But it's this strange space of benefactors and money and no money and, you know, cultural capital. And it's this really interesting space that artists and art workers and will have to negotiate. And I haven't, you know, I think I'm not quite sure if we're going to live in a kind of massively capitalist society, then we actually have to start putting value on, you know, everything from fresh air to trees to, you know, intellectual property to which is an issue in Australia, you know, with copyright laws. And so it's a really contested space that we all operate in.
But I guess it's always existed. When you think of Medici Italy, it was kind of that ecosystem of the Medici family kind of creating creating the ecosystem around productivity and tapping into it and making of the names. And but yeah, it's so interesting because, I mean, St. Leonard's and Chandos Street, when we were meeting with people from the Biennale offices earlier last year, they just said, oh my God, all of the people in production have their offices here, all of the engineers and the lighting specialists, and there's this kind of center. And, you know, the venerable publication that is no longer Art in Australia had its offices in Chandos Street 20 years ago. So it's kind of like a back to the future, in a way, yeah. And it's thanks to you guys, everybody here who's very creative. So maybe, unless you have other points, I don't want to keep people too long. We could chat all night, because we like to. But if you'd like to make any other points about... No, you didn't bleed at all. Nothing?
Great thing about each of the
I think. Well, I think that the very privileged position that we're all in here, I mean, I don't lend my name to just anything, and to be associated with TWT property and Bridging Hope is one of the most exciting things, seriously, I've done in my career, and just to see the possibilities and the acknowledgement and the respect for the creative processes. So it's, and I think it's a thing of speaking up and keeping the conversation going and enriching society generally, because without artists, without creativity, there's very little of joy.
So. Well, something that was really nice, like meeting you guys last week at the block party, and we're all new to St. Leonard's, and I'm like usually up here pretty late, like, and it's all dark outside, so kind of lonely, but then seeing the, how many studios, how many creative spaces around here, just, I was completely oblivious to, like, the week before, so that's really nice, sort of coming to a space that's already, there's already people, and yeah, really nice.
Well, the Brand X has been managing the studios. There's about 70 creative spaces, from dance studios, film production houses, artist studios, and it's really, really neat, and, you know, there were one or two artists that I discovered who I actually knew last year, who were hiding here in St. Leonard, so it's exciting, yeah. Right, right, right. Okay. But you're still renting the space. Yeah. Yeah. There's a vulnerability. Yeah. It's kind of life, though, isn't it? In a way. Yeah. Yeah. I guess the you know, what we're trying to plan for the future here is to ensure that this is still a very live creative hub. And how we do that is a way of, yeah.
It's like the last studio I was at, Birmingham Street, that's going to be a furniture store, and there's 22 of us there, but our combined efforts couldn't keep the space. It sucks. Yeah.
It would be nice.
It'd be nice to have the place in the backyard. Yeah. But I want to thank the three of you for your time and to be here and be part of the precinct, which is fantastic, and all of you for coming. And really, thank you. Thank you very much.